from yesterday. We spoke about how Krishna has unlimited qualities, but Srila Rupa Goswami has identified 64 prominent ones amongst them and described them in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These 64 qualities have been divided into four categories. The first 50, of course, Krishna has all these 64 in fullness. Krishna fully manifests all these 64 qualities. But of these 64, the first category, that is the first 50 qualities, are found quachit, sometimes, now and then, in the jivas. And even then, bindu bindu taya, in very, very tiny quantity, like a drop, as compared to the ocean. Actually, if you count it, it comes to roughly 74%. At one place, Srila Prabhupada does the calculation. Then if you consider the next five qualities that Lord Shiva and such great personalities have, this indicates that Shiva and others have 55 qualities, five extra, five more than what the ordinary jivas have. And these qualities are found partially manifested in Shiva and so on. The third category of the next five qualities are to be found not in the jivas, not even in Shiva, but only in Narayan. Of course, Krishna has all, but apart from Krishna, only in Narayan and the other Vishnu tattvas. So these are very special qualities, like for example possessing inconceivable powers, generating the universes from the body and so on. So that makes it 60 qualities. The last four qualities, the four madhuris, the four sweet qualities, are to be found only in Krishna and not even in Narayan. These other qualities that may be found in Narayan and the other avatars are amazing in nature, but when Krishna exhibits these very same qualities, they become even more amazing. And that is because Krishna performs his Naralila, his human-like pastimes. And therefore, Krishna's pastimes appear so much more beautiful. Excuse me, 1 minute. So Srila Jiva Goswami in his commentary, he says that these 64 qualities, you could say, are of two types. One type are those qualities that astonish us by presenting aspects of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And there are other qualities which astonish us by presenting aspects of Krishna in a human-like fashion. So when Krishna performs Naralila, where he appears to be just like a human being, then those very same qualities impart a much greater sweetness than the same qualities would for, say, Narayan or some other avatar of the Lord. So the special quality of Krishna is that in his human-like pastimes, he becomes so much ordinary in his appearance and activities that when he does display these extraordinary qualities, then that makes it appear very, very sweet. He possesses all these powers despite appearing just like anyone else on the earth when he appears here. Yesterday, we had some verses which we couldn't complete, so I hope you have brought the sheets from yesterday. So let's continue our discussion. Before we begin talking about each of these four sweet qualities, we'll talk about Krishna's special sweetness that he imparts because of his Naralila. So please turn the page, we'll chant the first verse there.
Stityudbhavantam bhuvanatrayasya yaha samihitenanta gunah svalilaya natasya chitram parapaksha nigrahas natasya chitram parapaksha
I beg your pardon. Tathapi martyanu vidhasya varnyate.
Stityudbhavantam bhuvanatrayasya yaha. Samihitenanta gunah svalilaya. Natasya chitram parapaksha nigrahas tathapi martyanu vidhasya varnyate.
Please chant. Each time a different devotee.
Stityudbhavantam bhuvanatrayasya yaha samihitenanta gunah svalilaya natasya chitram parapaksha nigrahas tathapi martyanu vidhasya varnyate. Stityudbhavantam bhuvanatrayasya yaha samihitenanta gunah svalilaya natasya chitram parapaksha nigrahas tathapi martyanu vidhasya varnyate.
Matajis.
Stityudbhavantam bhuvanatrayasya yaha samihitenanta gunah svalilaya natasya chitram parapaksha nigrahas तथापि मर्त्यानुविधस्य वर्ण्यते.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. For him who orchestrates the creation, maintenance and destruction of the three worlds, and who possesses unlimited spiritual qualities, it is hardly amazing that he subdues an opposing party. Still, when the Lord does so, imitating human behavior, sages glorify his acts.
Sthiti udbhava antam. Sthiti means maintenance, udbhava means creation, antam means destruction.
Bhuvanatraya means the three worlds. Trayasya is three. So Krishna is the creator, the maintainer and the destroyer ultimately. And he has ananta gunaha, unlimited qualities. And when he acts svalilaya, by performing his own pastimes, na tasya chitram, it's not so extraordinary or amazing that he is able to subdue nigraha, parapaksha, those who are in the opposing party, his enemies and so on. Tatha api martya anuvidhasya varnyate. Even though he imitates a person who is born in this martya loka, that is an ordinary human being. So when Krishna performs his naralila on the earth planet, he imitates the ways of human society. He appears as if he is just one amongst the others. But still, it must be understood that he is the creator, maintainer and destroyer of everything. He possesses unlimited spiritual qualities. Therefore, what is so surprising or amazing if he is able to subdue an opposing party, like a demon or something like that? But nevertheless, sages glorified these wonderful pastimes. In the list of the first 50 qualities, the fifth quality is called Baliyan, which means he possesses tremendous strength. Naturally, when the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, acts for the creation and maintenance and destruction of the universe, we are not observing him doing that, and he's sitting out there far away creating, maintaining, destroying something very, very powerful. But when he comes amongst us and starts exhibiting heroic feats that require great strength and valor, then the devotees tend to glorify him, even though the exhibition of strength that Krishna or his incarnation has done is very minuscule compared to his actual strength. For Krishna, who can destroy millions of universes at will, that is his power, and much more than that actually, unlimited power. What is the big thing or the big deal for him to just kill one asura, one demon? It's insignificant, absolutely like a blade of grass, not even that. But then we can see in the scriptures that a big deal is made out of it. And the sages are glorifying, the devotees are glorifying, the scriptures are full of such descriptions. When Krishna kills the asura, the demigods start showering flowers. And on the earth, the devotees discuss these pastimes of Krishna killing the asuras on and on and on. This is because, although the strength required to kill a demon is absolutely insignificant compared to Krishna's actual strength, because Krishna is acting like an ordinary human being, so therefore it becomes even more amazing and sweet. That is why sages and devotees continue to glorify these pastimes of the Lord. When Krishna was taken away from Vrindavan by Akrura to Mathura, where Kansa had planned. He had made elaborate plans for him to get killed, first by a mad elephant and then by wrestlers and so on. Krishna easily killed the elephant. He also killed many of the powerful wrestlers. Balaram killed some other wrestlers. Now these wrestlers, by human estimation, were very, very powerful. They had bodies that were as strong as thunderbolt. They were huge, like mountains. And Krishna and Balaram were just young boys with tender bodies, or so it seemed. Their appearance was just like that of a tender 13 or 14 year old boy, maximum a 15 year old boy, who is not very strongly built. That was how Krishna and Balaram appeared to everyone who saw them in the wrestling arena in Mathura. Nevertheless, every blow that Krishna and Balaram struck to the wrestlers who came in front of them was like a thunderbolt. And even then, Krishna and Balaram were actually, considering their actual strength, simply playing. They didn't have to use their full strength to just kill one human being. But nevertheless, they are glorified so much. Similarly, when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, from human estimation, that is an extraordinary, that requires extraordinary strength. But the Shastras say that Ananta Shesha, who is the expansion of the expansion of Krishna, the partial expansion of Krishna, holds the universes on his hoods as if they were like mustard seeds. He doesn't feel the weight. He's so strong. So he can lift millions of universes effortlessly. So what is the big thing for Krishna to lift one mountain, even though by earthly standards it may have been a very big mountain? But still, such leelas or pastimes of the Lord are glorified because it is Naralila. It brings in so much more sweetness into the pastime. In this way we understand that Krishna, as when these qualities are presented, when they present the aspect of Krishna as a human being, then these qualities become more attractive. More on the subject in the next verse. Prapancham nishprapanchopi vidambayasi bhutale prapanna janatananda sandoham prathitum prabhu prapancham nishprapanchopi vidambayasi bhutale prapanna janatananda sandoham prathitum prabhu. Please chant. Someone like to chant? Nishchopi vidambayasi bhutale prapanna janatananda sandoham prathitum prabhu prapancham nishprapanchopi bhutale ladies. Prapancham nishprapanchopi vidambayasi bhutale Prapanna janatananda sandoham prathitum prabhu. Srila Prabhupada's translation. My dear Master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. Prapancham. Prapancha means this material creation. Nishprapanchah api. Nishprapancha means not belonging to this material world or not of this world. Api means although. So this verse says that, my dear Lord, Prabhu, although you have nothing to do with this material world, still, prapancham, you still enter into it. And then you imitate the ways of ordinary human beings. Vidambayasi, and this is really bewildering. And why do you do this? Prapanna janata ananda sandoham. Prapanna means surrendered. Janata means those people, especially the devotees. Ananda is happiness. Specifically, although you have nothing to do with this material world, you enter within this material world and imitate the ways of human society simply for the sake of giving enjoyment to those great souls who have surrendered unto you. So this is Krishna's purpose of descent. Of course, by his various pastimes, Krishna attracts not just the devotees, but everyone. And that is really why Krishna comes here. He doesn't come here simply to destroy the wicked or to establish the principles of religion. He comes here specifically to attract all people, especially his devotees, and to give ecstatic pleasure, spiritual pleasure, to those who have surrendered unto him, as he did in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. The same point is continued in the next verse, which is actually a very famous verse. That's also from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's chant that. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham dehamasthitah bhajate tadrishi krida yah shrutva tatparo bhavet. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham asthitah bhajate tadrishi krida yah shrutva tatparo bhavet. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham asthitah bhajate tadrishi krida yah shrutva tatparo bhavet. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham asthitah bhajate tadrishi krida yah
यः श्रुत्वा तत्परो भवेत्।
लेडीज
अनुग्रहाय भक्तानां मानुषं देहम् आस्थितः भजते तादृशी हि क्रीडा यः श्रुत्वा तत्परो भवेत्।
लेडीज प्लीज।
अनुग्रहाय भक्तानां मानुषं देहम् आस्थितः भजते तादृशी क्रीडा याः श्रुत्वा तत्परो भवेत्।
श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन। व्हेन द लॉर्ड अज्यूम्स अ ह्यूमन लाइक बॉडी टू शो मर्सी टू हिज डिवोटीज ही एंगेजेस इन सच पास टाइम्स एज विल अट्रैक्ट दोज who hear about them to become dedicated to him. Anugraha means mercy, bhaktanam unto the devotees. Manusham deham asthitaha. Deha means body, manusha means human, asthitaha means to be situated. So, sometimes Krishna comes and appears within human society. And although he comes in his original spiritual body, in his original form, as he is in Goloka Vrindavan, he appears to be just another human being, and he does so for the sake of bestowing mercy upon his devotees. And how does he do this? By engaging in such pastimes, bhajate tadrishihi krida, upon hearing about which, all of them will definitely become dedicated to him. The Acharya's comment on the last word here, which is bhavet. The word bhavet is in the imperative sense. That means something that must be done. Prabhupada says vidhi ling. When he said this must be done. So like that, yaha shrutva tat paro bhavet, means that when you hear the pastimes of Krishna, you must begin to serve him. You must become his devotee. You must love him and serve him. In this way, Krishna attracts the minds of his devotees and gives pleasure to their hearts. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made a very nice analysis of this, about this Naralila, and how Krishna's qualities become very sweet in the Naralila, and also that the demonstration of these qualities have different effects upon different kinds of devotees. When Krishna went to Mathura, he killed the mad elephant Kuvalyapida, he killed the wrestlers along with Balaram, and finally he killed Kamsa himself. Kamsa also was not an ordinary person. He was extremely strong. And after that, when Krishna and Balaram came to meet Vasudev and Devaki, who had also assembled there in the large gathering, Vasudev and Devaki could not get themselves to come and embrace Krishna Balaram the way they would have done earlier. In their minds, Shukadev Goswami says, they considered Krishna and Balaram to be the supreme controllers of the universe. So we can see that although Vasudev and Devaki considered Krishna to be their son, which is something very intimate, something very sweet, but that sweetness was diminished. Their Vatsalya Bhav, their mood of being a parent or parents of Krishna and Balaram, was diminished when Krishna displayed this quality of Baliyan, possessing tremendous strength. As I said earlier, killing Kamsa and the others was no big deal really for Krishna. But because it was done in a human-like form, so Vasudeva and Devaki were shaken. And their Vatsalya Bhava was also shaken. And they couldn't get themselves to embrace him and the two boys and to kiss their heads and so on. So then they just stood with folded hands. And Krishna and Balaram of course didn't like that. Because the Lord likes to be dealt with by his devotees in more intimate ways. He doesn't like it so much when the devotees consider him to be the supreme controller. So Vasudev and Devaki, their Vatsalya Bhava diminished by seeing this awesome display by Krishna and Balaram. A similar thing happened when Arjuna, in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, saw Krishna display the awesome universal form which nobody else had seen before, as Krishna himself declared. And after having seen that form, Arjuna began to repent. And he said, Sakheti matva prasabham yaduktam. He Krishna, he Yadava, he Sakheti. He said, Matva, my opinion was earlier that Sakha iti, that you are my friend. And prasabham yaduktam, and being very presumptuous, I took it for granted that you were my sakha or my friend. So I used to address you as, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey sakha, hey friend. I used to call you like this out of presumption. I used to take you for granted. I just thought you were my ordinary friend. But I did not know your glories. Ajanata mahimanam tavedam. I did not know who you really were. I did not know your glories. Maya pramadat prayena pranayenava. So please forgive me because I may have said this in madness, pramadat, or pranayena, out of love. Out of some love for you, O Krishna, I may have called you by these names. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakha, oh my dear friend. But now I understand you are the Supreme Lord who has displayed his universal form. So here is an example of how someone who loved Krishna as a friend immediately became awestruck. He looked at Krishna in a mood of awe and reverence upon the display of Krishna's universal form. So Arjuna's Sakhya Bhav, his mood of love in friendship to Krishna, was diminished when Krishna displayed his powers and his opulences in the universal form. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this is Aishwarya Gyan. When a devotee considers himself or herself to be related to Krishna in an intimate way, like a mother or father or a wife or a friend or something like that, and that mood is adulterated or diminished when Krishna displays his Aishwarya or his opulence, then that is Aishwarya Gyan. To contrast this with another type of Gyan, which is called Madhurya Gyan, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of one incident that is narrated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna and Balaram, as you know, used to go out every day in the morning along with their cowherd boyfriends to graze the cows. And they would return by the evening. One time, when they were returning from the cowherding pastures, the demigods led by Brahma, Indra and so on descended into Vrindavan in the forest. And they began worshipping Krishna and Balaram, especially Krishna. And they offered him all kinds of gift articles at his lotus feet. They started glorifying him with all kinds of musical instruments and song and verses and so on. And the friends like Sridharma, Subal, etc. were standing and happily watching. Who are these people who have come here? And they're glorifying our friend, they're worshipping Krishna. And they had a good laugh about it. And they were happy. They had a laugh not in the sense of envy, but in a sense, oh, he's just our friend ultimately. It's not a big deal. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this was seen or heard of by all the residents of Vrindavan, because everything that happened in the forest was faithfully narrated by the boys when they got home. It became the talk of the town. Would that there was such talk of the town nowadays. Nowadays the talk of the town is always something sensational, something, some gossip that's always spreading like wildfire. But in those days in Vrindavan, the talk of the town was always, have you heard the latest? Now when you hear somebody saying that, you wonder, oh God, what's up now? Someone comes up to you and says, have you heard the latest? You think, oh, there's some gossip, some scandal, something somewhere. But every day in Vrindavan, this was a line. Have you heard the latest about Krishna? Today he killed such and such demon. Oh, today Indra and Brahma came down and worshipped Krishna. Really? They worshipped Krishna, yes. And in fact, they were playing all kinds of musical instruments. And they were chanting wonderful poetry in praise of Krishna. In this way, Vrindavan saw only talks about Krishna and nothing else. Mother Yashoda also heard that Indra and Brahma had come and that they worshipped him as God. And then she began to feel, oh, how fortunate I am that my son is God. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this kind of maternal pride indicates a deepening of the Vatsalya Bhav, not a diminishing of it. So Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna as a mother increased. Her conception of Krishna as her son deepened when Krishna's opulence was displayed, because the demigods came to worship him. Similarly, the cowherd boys also, they didn't think like Arjuna did. They didn't think any less that Krishna was their friend. In fact, they began to love Krishna more as their friend. Oh, how fortunate we are. We have such a wonderful friend. Just see. Even these personalities coming from the sky, golden personalities flying in from the sky, and they play all kinds of instruments and speak in all kinds of poetry. Just for my friend, just see how fortunate we are to have such a friend. So they didn't get into a mood of awe and reverence. Similarly, the gopis. The gopis also thought in the same way about Krishna. They didn't think, oh my God, he's my lover, what is he, he's God? No, no, they didn't think like that. They continued to think even more fondly of Krishna in a conjugal mood. So this is something very special that is found only in Vrindavan. And therefore the Brajabasis, they did not consider Krishna anything more than their beloved friend, their beloved son, their beloved, and so on. And even if they knew that Krishna was God, it didn't really matter to them. Nanda Maharaj, even though he was told many times about Krishna being God, but still he never once thought in his mind that Krishna was anything but his son. Shukadev Goswami mentions that Vasudev thought like that, but he never says anywhere in the Bhagavatam that Nanda Maharaj thought like that or Mother Yashoda thought like that. He may be God, but he's still my son. So this is the special thing in the Naralila in Vrindavan, as opposed to the Naralila in other places. So Krishna's 64 qualities, although they are very sweet in any incarnation, but they are particularly sweet in the Naralila. And even in the Naralila, they are particularly sweet in Vrindavan. So these qualities, all these 64 qualities are displayed by Krishna even here in Vrindavan. And here these qualities assume such a degree of sweetness that it is not found anywhere else in all of creation. So Krishna's pastimes are like a stream of nectar. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has explained, Krishna lila amrit sara tara shata shata dhara dosha dike vohe jaha hoite. He says Krishna lila amrit sara. Sar means the essence. So the pastimes of Krishna are like the essence of nectar. Tara shata shata dhara. And they flow in different directions. Dasha dike vohe jaha hoite. And they flow in all directions like a stream of nectar. Krishna's pastimes have been compared also by Kaviraj Goswami to the sweet buds of lotus flowers in a forest. In a forest, at least in the forest in Vrindavan in those days, there were many different kinds of birds and animals. And amongst the birds, there were two called the Hamsa and the Chakravaka, two birds, very sweet birds. And these generally move wherever there are lotus flowers. So Kaviraj Goswami compares the devotees to these swans and Chakravaka birds. He compares Krishna's pastimes to the sweet buds of lotus flowers. And he says, just as these birds constantly delight in tasting the sweet buds of the lotus flowers, similarly, devotees take constant delight in hearing about the wonderful qualities and pastimes of Krishna. So therefore, now we'll talk about the first of the four special qualities that Krishna has. That is his sweet pastimes, Leela Madhuri. So come back to the sheet and you'll see previously in the second verse we had given Sarvadbhuta Chamatkar Leela Kallola Varithihi. And Prabhupada has translated that as being Krishna is like an ocean filled with waves of pastimes that evoke wonder within everyone in the three worlds. Because that's the very nature of Krishna's pastimes. So although Narayan performs pastimes, Lord Ramachandra performs pastimes, when Krishna comes into this material world as Matsya avatar, Vamana avatar, he performs pastimes. Even in the Vaikuntha world, as Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Sankarshan, Vasudev, as Janardhan, Trivikram, Upendra and so on, he performs so many pastimes. Nonetheless, the pastimes that Krishna performs are especially sweet. And as Kaviraj Goswami has said, it's like a constant stream of nectar. So by hearing about these pastimes, especially the pastimes in Vrindavan, one automatically becomes attracted. One's heart becomes cleansed. And Kaviraj Goswami says that all devotees must hear Krishna's pastimes regularly. In one place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, by eating grains and other foodstuffs, one can become stout and strong. However, even if one has become physically stout and strong, if one doesn't hear the pastimes of Krishna, then one will fall down from one's transcendental position, because one will not be able to keep the taste of the transcendental position without constant hearing. On the other hand, someone who hears faithfully with devotion the pastimes of Krishna every day, if he or she partakes of even a drop of the nectar of those pastimes, then his or her body and mind will bloom and he will begin to jump and cry and dance in joy. So even if we are physically not dancing and jumping in joy when we hear Krishna's pastimes, at least our heart should jump in joy when we hear of Krishna's pastimes. So then Kaviraj Goswami has given us good instruction that we should spiritually also nourish ourselves by hearing these sweet pastimes every day. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made another interesting comment. He says that Brahma has declared in the Brahma Samhita, Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti, that Krishna, being the absolute truth, can perform the function of any sense with any of his other senses. In other words, Krishna can see with his ears if he likes. Krishna can taste with his eyes. Krishna can touch with his sense of smell, with his nose. He can do anything. Everything is interchangeable for Krishna. And we see that every day when we offer bhoga to Krishna, Krishna eats that. Krishna accepts the offering, but he accepts it, he eats that food with his eyes. He definitely eats, because Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Ashnami Prayatatmanaha, I definitely eat. So Krishna is eating, but the plate is still full. So Krishna is eating with his eyes. So in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha and everywhere else, even in the act of creation by Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, there is a lot that they do just with their glance. Generally, the process of creation doesn't take place by glancing, but the Lord can create just by glancing. However, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in Vrindavan, Krishna sees with his eyes, Krishna hears with his ears, Krishna tastes with his tongue, Krishna touches and feels with his hands, Krishna walks with his legs. In other words, he behaves just like any of us. And he likes to think himself a cowherd boy. That is his fancy. He likes it. He likes to imagine himself being a cowherd boy. And Srila Prabhupada says somewhere, I don't remember the book, but he says in one place that this thinking of Krishna, that I am a cowherd boy, is called leela or pastime. So what is a pastime of Krishna? A pastime of Krishna in Vrindavan is that he thinks himself to be a cowherd boy. In Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't think himself to be God. The leela shakti of Krishna covers Krishna's knowledge of his own godhood. So therefore he frolics and plays just like an ordinary cowherd boy. But yet, because he still has these 64 qualities in full, therefore his frolicking and playing becomes extraordinarily sweet. So therefore Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that here Krishna is very careful. His leela shakti cooperates to make sure Krishna does everything very properly, just like human beings do. Although sometimes, every now and then, Krishna does display something extraordinary, like lifting the Govardhan and so on, or swallowing the forest fire. Generally, human beings don't swallow fire, isn't it? But Krishna swallowed the forest fire twice. So sometimes Krishna did that, but that only increased the Sakhya Bhav of the Gopa boys. So let's chant two verses here, which are found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Would someone please distribute these very quickly? Some at the back, some in the front, at different places. Some at the back, you can please give. Can somebody please give over there, behind? Hare Krishna, can you hear me? Is the mic clear to everyone? Okay, it's clear. Okay, so has everyone got this? You can share if you haven't got, please. There were 75 copies made, so.
Yanmati Leelaupayikam Swayoga Maya Balandarshayata Grihitam Vismapanam Swasyacha Saubhagardhehe Param padam bhushana bhushanangam Yanmartya lilau paikam svayoga Maya balam darshayata grihitam Vismapanam svasya cha saubhagardhe Param padam bhushana bhushanangam
Please chant, two devotees, somebody.
Yanmartya Leelaupayikam Swayoga Maya Balam Darshayata Grihitam Vismapanam Swasya Cha Saubhagardhe Param padam bhushana bhushanangam.
Another. Please chant.
Yanmartya Leelaupayikam Swayoga. Maya balam darshayata grihitam. Vismapanam svasya cha saubhagardhehe Param padam bhushana bhushanangam.
Ladies, please.
Yanmartya Leelaupayikam Swayoga Maya balam darshayata grihitam Vismapanam svasya cha saubhagardhehe Param padam bhushana bhushanangam.
Srila Prabhupada's translation. To exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him and was the supreme abode of the wealth of the goddess of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. Martya Leela. Martya Leela means that Leela which is performed in Martya Loka. This material world is also called Martya Loka because here everyone is destined for Mrityu or death. So it's called Martya Loka. So he descends here into this material world, Svayoga Maya, Balam, on the strength or the Bala of his own internal potency. And having come here in this material world, he exhibits such a wonderful human-like form. Even for him, even Krishna finds his own form very wonderful. And it is full of good fortune. And its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on the different parts of his body. Bhushana, Bhushanangam. So Krishna is the ornament of the ornaments. So generally people wear ornaments to beautify themselves. But for Krishna, the ornaments become more beautiful when they are on Krishna. That is what this verse says here. So the point is that in order to exhibit his Naralila, Krishna comes in his original form out of his own internal potency, his spiritual potency. He moves around amongst human beings and the animals and the birds and so on and exhibits this most beautiful form and performs wonderful pastimes. And what is the nature of the pastimes that Krishna performs here? Let's hear in Mahaprabhu's words from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna rajate kokhela sarvottama naralila naravaputahara svarupa. Gopavesha Venukara Navakishor Natavara Naralila Hoy Anurupa. Krishna Rajate Kokhela Sarvottama Naralila. Naravaputahara svarupa. Gopavesha Venukara Navakishor Natavara. Naralilar hoy anurupa. Krishna rajate kokhela sarvottama naralila naravaputahara svarupa. Gopavesha venukara navakishor natavara naralila hoy anurupa. Krishna rajata kokhela sarvottama naralila naravaputahara svarupa. Gopavesha venukara navakishor natavara naralila hoy anurupa. Ladies, Krishna rajate kokhela sarvottama naralila naravaputahara svarupa. Gopavesha venukara navakishor natavara
नर लीला है अनुरूप.
श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन. लॉर्ड कृष्णा हैज मेनी पास टाइम्स ऑफ विच हिज पास टाइम्स एज अ ह्यूमन बीइंग आर द बेस्ट. His form as a human being is a supreme transcendental form. In this form, he is a cowherd boy. He carries a flute in his hand, and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. All this is just suitable for his pastimes as a human being.
Krishna ne jate ko khela. Khela means play, sports, pastimes. So Krishna has many, many pastimes. But sarva uttama, sarva means all, uttam means best. But the best amongst them all is naralila. Those pastimes that Krishna performs in his original form, which is human-like, the form that is found in Vrindavan.
Naravapu tahara swarup. His form as a human being is a supreme transcendental form, because that is the origin actually of all other forms.
Sarva karana karanam.
So the sarva karana karanam means that the Krishna of Vrindavan is not just the cause of the material world, he is also the cause of all the other forms of Godhead, all the Vishnu tattvas. So his human-like form is the original form. There is a phenomenon called anthropomorphism, where they say that human beings imagine God to be in a form just like a human being, because we are like this with two hands and two legs, a nose and two ears and so on. So we imagine that God will also be like that. So we superimpose our conception of ourselves, our experience of ourselves, upon God. And therefore we say that God is human-like. But actually the opposite is true. It's not that we have made God in our shape or form. It is actually Krishna has made us similar to Him. The original form is Krishna's. And that is his form of the original Godhead, Shyam Sundar Govinda, in Vrindavan. So we are but poor imitations of that form. So Naravapu Tahara Swarup, his form as a human being, is the supreme transcendental form, Gopavesha. And in this original form, which is the source of all other forms, source of everything material and spiritual, he is in the Gopa Vesha. Vesha means dress. Gopa is a cowherd boy. So the original Supreme Personality of Godhead fancies himself to be a cowherd boy. Hard to believe for someone who is not trained in the association of devotees. You go and tell someone in the street in some city in Africa or America or Far Eastern Asia, do you know that God is a cowherd boy in the original form? You won't have many takers for that. But that's a fact. That's the absolute fundamental truth. Venu Kara. Kara means hands. And he's not an ordinary cowherd boy. He also has a flute in his hands. Navakishore. He is always eternally youthful. His youth is new. There is the Kumar Avastha, the age between birth and 5 years of age. There is Pauganda, which is from 6 years of age to 10. From 11 to 15 is Kaishora, which is adolescence or pre-youth. And 16 onwards is youth, Yovanam. So Krishna always appears as a Kaishora. In his Kishore form, he is ever youthful. So he is Navakishore, Natavara. He is also an expert dancer. Krishna exhibits his dancing skills in many, many ways. When he takes the cows out for pasture, Shukadev Goswami describes that all the boys are jubilant. The jubilation we cannot describe in words. Why are they jubilant? Because now they will have Krishna all for themselves the whole day. Night is miserable because they think, oh, Krishna has now gone home and we have to go to our homes. When will the morning come and we'll be with Krishna again, frolicking in these sands near the Yamuna and sitting and having our picnic? So when they are going, they're in a very joyous mood. They're jumping and dancing, and all the way till they reach the forest, and Krishna also dances with them. And sometimes Krishna appreciates the dancing and singing of his friends. Sometimes he stops, he pauses, admires the dancing and claps and says, very good, very good. And then the friend, the gopa, becomes overwhelmed with affection upon hearing Krishna's appreciation. And then Krishna says, okay, now I'll dance for you. And then Krishna begins to dance, and all the cowherd boys become wrapped in attention. They become completely charmed by Krishna's dancing. Then sometimes Krishna dances to teach the peacocks how to dance. He appreciates the dancing of the peacocks and then says, look, I'll show you how to dance. And one time the peacock was so happy that the peacock gave a feather to Krishna. From that day Krishna wears a feather in his hair. That's how Krishna got the feather in the first place, the peacock feather. Then even in the forest Krishna dances sometimes. Krishna even danced in the hoods of Kaliya. He finds all unusual places to dance on. He even dances in everybody's hearts, the hearts of the devotees. And then of course he dances the Rasa Leela with the gopis in Vrindavan. So Krishna dances in different ways, so he is Natavara. Lord Shiva is called Nataraj, the king amongst the dancers. But Krishna is the best amongst the dancers, that means he is better than even the king, so-called king. Shiva's dancing is usually seen at the time of the destruction of the universe. So Krishna, the Shiva's dancing celebrates the destruction, the Tandav Nritya. But Krishna's dancing is an occasion of joy. So he is called Natavara, one who is an expert dancer. And Nara Leelar Hai Anurupa. So all this, the form that he assumes, or the form that he is rather, are just suitable for his human-like pastimes in Vrindavan. Both Goloka Vrindavan as well as Bhauma Vrindavan. That is why Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes have no parallel. Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing of the killing of Putana, tells Shukadev Goswami, actually, all the incarnations of the Lord, they perform so many wonderful pastimes, and they are all very attractive. And by hearing these pastimes, we become purified of all our sinful activities, we develop love of God. But generally, people do not like to hear these pastimes. Prabhupada comments in this connection that actually, not hearing Krishna's pastimes and glories is a cause of suffering in this world. Why is this material world a place of suffering? Because people are not hearing about Krishna and chanting Krishna's holy names and glories and pastimes. So Parikshit Maharaj says that usually people don't like to hear about Krishna's pastimes, but if they hear these childhood pastimes of Krishna, where he's stealing butter, where he is frolicking with the cowherd boys in the forest, where he's dancing Rasa Leela with the gopis, where he's playing as the ordinary son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, then they will automatically become attracted, their hearts will melt. And in this way, they will take great delight in devotional service. So Shukadev Goswami therefore wants to hear more of these childhood pastimes. So this Leela Madhurya, the Leela Madhuri, begins with these most sweet childhood pastimes of Krishna. But in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes some other verses that say, yes, there are also other pastimes which are even sweeter. And Rupa Goswami quotes Krishna as saying that no doubt all my pastimes are very attractive. But I don't know why it is that when I even think of my Rasalila pastime, then something overwhelms my mind and I'm not able to explain what happens to my mind. Also Parikshit Maharaj says that the Rasalila pastimes of the Lord are so astonishingly wonderful that not only do they produce astonishment for us who hear about them, but also they produce astonishment within Krishna's heart himself. So sweet are all these pastimes. So whether they are Krishna's childhood pastimes, his boyhood pastimes, his Kaishora pastimes with the gopis, all are sweet, supremely sweet. So this is one quality of Krishna that is very special, that's not even present in Lord Narayan. Because Lord Narayan doesn't have childhood pastimes. Lord Narayan doesn't significantly engage in any conjugal pastimes. Lord Narayan doesn't have significant friendly pastimes. But these are there in Krishna's pastimes here in Vrindavan. Therefore, this first of the four qualities has been called Leela Madhuri or Madhuryam, the sweetness of Krishna's extraordinary pastimes. So tomorrow we'll talk about Prema Madhuri. Thereafter we'll talk about Venu Madhuri. And lastly we'll talk about Rupa Madhuri. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.